Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ, and we are continuing our series this week as we talk about planning ahead at your church in the new year. And I'm looking forward to continuing my conversation with Jeremy Lenentine. My name's Luke Clayton, and this is Church Media HQ. Hey, it looks like we had a question. I want to get back to a thought that you just had there, Jeremy, about this idea of, you know, a packed house or whatever. But we did have a question come in here on the Zoom chat. I wanted to see if we had any thoughts here. Kind of interesting. Any ideas on how to make communion or the Lord's Supper, how to make communion special when you have to have it virtually? Now, has your church experimented with that at all? I know some have with trying to do some type of virtual, you know, Lord's Supper, maybe over Zoom or live stream.
Yeah, so this might be an idea that's already known. So we didn't ever try to do it virtually because if you do, I mean, I guess, you know, would you have to make home deliveries of like the unleavened bread? Do you just have people substitute it on their own, you know, or whatever? I have seen a couple of churches do, and we didn't try it, so full disclosure, but I think it would be really interesting, is they did a drive-through Lord's Supper. And I know that at first that sounds repugnant and disrespectful, maybe, just to be blunt, but I think that they did it in a very good way. And obviously, what's the purpose of it, right? Is for us just to do in remembrance of the Lord. And so they had it prepared. People drove through. They did it right after a Sunday morning in a window, you know, from like 1 to 2. And people picked it up, you know, and then they drove forward, and they had a couple of people there that would pray with a car, and then they would take the Lord's Supper together. They just kind of stayed out there and did it for that whole hour. I think that if you're going to do it virtual, there's just so many things to conquer about, because there are actual elements, obviously, you know, that people need to partake. And we didn't attempt it virtually because I just really don't see how it can be super effective virtually. Some people might disagree and have a better thought on that. But I did want to, I almost convinced them here to do the drive-through one. And I think that you can do it in a respectful way and accomplish what you need to accomplish by having a couple of people in the parking lot helping you to work through it. So that's kind of all I got on that.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you said, I think a lot of it has to do with how you want to approach the Lord's Supper. Obviously, the Lord's Supper is designed to be a sacred time. It's not something that you do flippantly. But I did hear of some that said, "Hey, you know, we're going to take Lord's Supper, you know, as best you can, try to have some, you know, crackers and grape juice, you know, there at your home. And, you know, we're going to just kind of have a moment here of, you know, a somber moment where we pray and we, you know, read some scripture and we partake of the Lord's Supper." But again, I like your idea of drive through. I think that is a way to find a good balance of being able to offer it, but also maintain, you know, kind of control the environment in terms of, you know, how you can, you know, keep that sacred feel. And then I know one thing that a lot of churches were already doing this, but I know that just about whoever is making these, you know what I'm talking about? These little Lord's Supper mini cups that I've seen them. You peel the cracker off the top, and then you peel the cracker off the top and you got the wafer, and then you eat that, and then you open, whoever's making that is making bank right now, because there are a lot of churches already using that, you know, but now I don't, because, you know, honestly, and this may be one of those things that's kind of like, some of these things after the pandemic, are they ever coming back? And one of the questions was, is something like greeting time, shaking hands, is that ever going to come back? You know, because of obviously that the massive spread of germs that happens during those moments during a church. And so I wonder the same thing about the Lord's Supper. Are those little what you call it, the actual, you know, passing out the open air, you know, juice and crackers where anyone could sneeze or cough on it. Is that actually going to return? Because I know a lot of churches have converted to just saying, hey, we're going to use the cups. And not to mention, man, it's so much more efficient and quicker, you know, than trying to distribute everything. So what? Or I guess that is ultimately a matter of preference there. I do see. Hopefully that helps that question there. And that,
if I could say one thing there to Les as well on with that asking that question, I would say too with having the drive-through thing. Sometimes we can underestimate because it's us and we don't think we're, you know, all that special or whatever. But your church people really want to see you. And so if it's been a long time since they have, so two things about that. Going all the way back to Easter, right? We were shut down. We were only virtual at Easter. So one of the things that we did because we just missed people and we wanted that, just that contact or whatever, was we made up a ton of Easter bags. And we said, we're going to be in our church parking lot from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Anyone who drives by, you know, we want to give you an Easter bag, you know, of candy to your kids, and we want to pray with you. And we had like 65 cars, which is a very, very high number for us, that drove, that took the time to get, you know, dressed, you know, and get in their car and drive to us and drive through the line. Some of them as far as from 40 minutes away. And so I would say that, you know, if you deliver the elements, that's a lot of work on you, and that if that works for you, great. But also I think you'd be surprised at how many people would want to pass through and see you and just have that moment of the pastor, you know, with the mask on or whatever, but just kind of praying for the car, praying with you or whatever in a good, safe way. Don't underestimate that, because people really want that contact, especially with someone they love so much as their pastor, you know, and people that work at the church or whatever else. We also did drive-in services at our church where people would come and listen in the radios in their car, and that takes a transmitter and a couple of other things. But I couldn't believe we had a full parking lot. We actually had a better, because I would count the cars and then I knew how many people were in there. We did those on Sunday night, and we had about a 20 or 25% increase on those drive-in services of what we were having in person on Sunday nights the year before. It was just such a cool novelty thing that people really wanted to do it. We did it 4 Sunday nights in a row, and now we liked it so much as sort of just a remembering, you know, the horrors of 2020. In 2021, we're going to actually do it again on one Sunday night in the summer, just have a drive-in service just for fun, because people liked it so much. And it was born out of a tragedy, right? It was born out of the fact that we couldn't meet together, so we had to do it in the parking lot. But it was a really great opportunity to do something unique that people really liked, you know? And so we'll do it just for kicks one time in the next year, so...
No, I think that's great. It's a really good thought there. And yeah, I mean, I suppose depending on the size of your congregation, it's probably doable to maybe deliver, you know, the elements to people who can't attend. But I like that drive-through idea of actually, you know, doing driving in and getting that. I think that's cool. And I like how you guys are going to kind of use that as a, hey, remember, it could be worse, more or less. So yeah, I find that to be a really interesting. Well, getting back to our topic there, of, you know, you said this about Easter and about a big service in particular, a big event, you know, and I wanted to kind of jump onto this thought. You said, yeah, I don't, although the idea of having a lot of people in your church pre-pandemic may have sound really exciting, because there's a lot of energy when you have a big crowd, whether that's at a church service or a concert or at a, you know, a sporting event. There's a lot of energy there. However, I was visiting a church not too long ago, and I walked in, and the entire back 3 or 4 rows were completely open. And I thought, perfect. Because I was able to walk in, I was able to sit nowhere close to anyone. And I honestly felt super comfortable because I had that kind of a space there. Now, I actually tend to be a little bit more introverted when I, you know, meeting new people and whatever. So that's just kind of how I like it. However, I think a lot of times what happens as a church leader or a pastor, assistant pastor, whatever it may be, it's been so long since we had that I visited this church for the first time. You know, maybe we only experience it, you know, every once in a while whenever we visit, you know, a church on vacation or something like that. But it's been so long since we actually felt how it was to be a first-time visitor that we kind of lose that. We lose that. How are they going to feel when they walk in and when they visit? So, anyways, I just wanted to kind of jump back to that about Easter. So about Easter or a big event in general. So, I'm kind of having a shift in my paradigm and the way I encourage people to approach, you know, their events and their marketing and encouraging churches and when it comes to their advertisement to, yeah, instead of looking at what can be the next big event, to look at more or less what can be the next big series or what can be the next big campaign. Because yeah, you go to a church on a for Easter, for example, and then you say, okay, hey, this has been great. You're new. You say, hey, this has been great. What's next? Come back to next week, you know, and there's really no, it's kind of like, oh, well, we had a really exciting day on this big day, but now next week's just business as usual. And it can seem a little bit lackluster. So anyways, like I said, as you're moving into Easter and whatnot, I even challenge you to say, hey, we are going to, obviously we can't ignore Easter, but we're going to try to even make a sermon series or a campaign out of that. At the time of release here, it's January. You got plenty of time to start to figure out how you're going, to make that work there. So, I think that's a really good thought there. Now, Jeremy, when it comes to actually, let's dive into the actual phases of creative planning, if you will, kind of jumping into the, just a little bit more nuts and bolts on how to approach an event and how to plan ahead for an event or a campaign or a sermon series without getting overwhelmed and in a way that you're going to be able to give your, the team you're working with, give them plenty of time to get the job done. So, as far as there's these different phases that we've kind of identified here. And the first one, it really depends on your, all of this depends on the nature of your event, you know, your deadlines and all that. But, one of the big things that it depends on just from the person who's been that creative, that person who's doing the design or the videography is what deliverables you're expecting. So for example, if you're wanting, if you're just wanting a simple screen graphic, you know, for maybe the sermon slides or something, well, that's a whole lot of a simpler, project to tackle than maybe, I want a video, you know, when you're talking about a sermon series. Okay. Yeah. Obviously if you're going to have screens, you're probably going to have at least a graphic. But I want a sermon bumper. Well, there's a huge difference in turnaround. So the first step is you have to determine when it's time to contact your creators or your creative people. So that'd be your designers, your videographers, your web guy, whatever it may be. Now, Jeremy, I know you guys kind of have some in-house people on your team that handle most of your design and whatnot. But I know you've also worked and you've outsourced some things in the past before. What have you found though as a good lead time to give the actual, whether they're in-house or someone you're outsourcing to, what is a good lead time in terms of maybe just from the design? We'll talk about design specifically because I think that's something that's always going to be needed. So what have you found that kind of works for you as far as, hey, if the event is this date, how many weeks out or months out do you need to reach out and work with them on that?
Yeah, so I always like to break it down into two groups, okay? So there is printed material. So if we're talking about printed material at all, okay, that involves a design. Obviously, it involves sending it to a printer, it being printed, and then it returning back to you. So there's printing that we can talk about, and then there's also just any visual type of graphics or promotional material that you need. If I'm looking, I think that if we're talking about printing first off, I think that if you're inviting for an event or a sermon series or whatever, more than 4 weeks out, so 5, 6, 7 weeks out, it's too far out for people to really engage with. And you're probably going to have to loop back and invite that person a second time once it gets closer. So I'm not going to pass them out and say, hey, in 6 weeks, you know, we're having Easter or whatever. And Easter is probably the farthest you could push for something. So what I like to do is that 8 weeks out from the event, I want to be sending something to the printer. That way it allows a week for it to return. I can look over that. If God forbid there's anything that needed to get changed or something that I messed up on or whatever else. And so at that 8 week range, so you need to tell your creative team, obviously, a little bit farther than that out. 8 to 10 weeks out, you need to be talking to your creative team, whoever's going to design this for you, and say, okay, this is for print, so I need this. Which that means that it's on you to know the details that need to go on to that, obviously, and some idea of what you want it to look like, in order for you to get that designed that far out. Now, if we're talking about something that's not print, let's say it's just a screen graphic, social media graphic to invite on Facebook, Instagram, whatever for church, then I would say that you can be more in that 4 to 6 week range. So I would start talking to my creator or whatever about the 6 week range, give them a week or a little bit longer to work on something to develop it for you. A lot of times we have great ideas. The problem is that we have them and it's 10 days out, right? And then now we want to try to start inviting and start, and it takes time. It takes time for ideas and excitement to build. It takes time for other people to invite other people and things like that. So I would say if you have anyone creatively, you know, working with you, give them, you know, you need to be talking to them 8 to 10 weeks out for print, and you need to be talking to them 5 to 6 weeks out for just visual design aids and such.
Yeah, so going back to what we were talking about earlier with, if you're sitting down, ideally you're sitting down once a month and you're looking ahead on your calendar to, like I said, what's immediate, what's going to be in the next 1 to 2 weeks, what's going to be in the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, what's going to be in the next 3 to 4 months, what's going to be 6 months plus. And so really when you sit down and you say, okay, in about 3 to 4 months, we're going to have, again, Easter is the most relevant event to talk about with at the time of releasing this. Okay, 3 to 4 months from now, yeah, Easter falls in that category. So it's a good time to reach out to my creator, my designer, and say, hey, Easter's coming. What can we do to start preparing? Now, I'm going to throw this out there, if you will, as bonus points. Again, when you're looking 6+ months out, okay, you've got, you know, maybe even a full year out's worth of events. Now, this is kind of a bonus project, if you will. But, for example, you know Christmas is coming. You know it is. You know Christmas of 2021 will happen. And you know that, you know, a general idea of when it's going to happen as far as when, you know, the Sundays are and when you're going to have a series, or maybe one if you're going to stick with having a Christmas, particular special Christmas Sunday or whatever it may be. It's not insane to look ahead and say, hey, you know what, especially if you're an in-house graphic designer, someone who, you know, you've got either you are or you've got someone on your in-house staff that can design, to say, hey, why don't you look ahead 6 months, even 12 months out, go ahead and design simple title graphics. Just a simple, if you're actually watching by way of video, you can see behind Jeremy, just a simple graphic like that, it's a Christmas Gospelite title graphic. Okay, that is something that you don't have to know all the details to design, but you can at least get that visual thing. And another callback to something you said earlier, Jeremy, you were talking about how you want to show people, not tell. If you can show your pastor or, you know, the guy above you who you're trying to convince to maybe do something extra exciting for Easter, Christmas, whatever it may be, and you can say, hey, look at this, I've already got the graphic ready to go, and it's 6 months away, it's 12 months away, whatever they be, you know what, they're going to say, hey, they've taken the initiative, first of all, to plan ahead and to create and work ahead, and that, wow, I can actually start to see a vision for how this might look. And so, like I said, that's kind of more of a bonus points to plan, even start to look into designing your title graphics even further out. But yeah, especially once you've hit this 3 to 4 month, like you said, 6 to 8 weeks, during that period, especially if you want printed materials, you need to be working with your designer, or if you are the designer, you need to start working on the designs, because the next big deadline, the next big, if you will, phase is after you've contacted your creators. If you do have print, which many times you're going to have something type of print, whether it's invite cards or banners or something like that, and now it's talking about sending your artwork to print. And so, Jeremy, again, I think you've already started to allude to this, but in your experience, what's the best timelines as far as hard to work out for sending things, getting them approved, proofread, all that stuff, and sending them to the printer?
Yeah, so I like to send stuff to the printer above 8 weeks out because, again, it's going to take, so many, I can't tell you how many hundreds of dollars I've lost over the last 7 years of the church here doing rush printing or rush shipping. It's literally a difference of 60, 70, $80 if you're rushing the printing or the shipping. So to not be in that panic mode thing, I like being at that, above 8 week, maybe that 9 week range of sending it to the printer. I'm not sweating. It can come back. I can look at it. I can have it for a week. I can show it to people. Hey, we're going to start giving these out next week. I can soft promote inside, people that are already coming to church before we start pushing. So just to kind of give you an added, scare and anxiety, when Luke drops this episode here, he's in January, you've got either 12 or 13 weeks and Easter is here. So look, you've got to be talking to your, to your creative person in a week or two, about I need something designed because we're going to need to send it off to the printer. As we always say, as Luke always says here, Easter is like the Super Bowl for churches. So you better have something printed, some type of invite card printed for Easter. And by the way, too, if you're looking at this and your head's spinning, you think I don't have a lot of time for this. For you as a lead pastor, let's say that you're at a smaller church or, you're a one-man operation or whatever, it's probably not worth it for you to sink a lot of hours into designing this type of stuff when for 100 or $150 a month, you can pass this off to somebody else, right? A company that does this and that has 10 to 12 different, Easter slides, graphics, printed material that they could offer you, and you can just pick. Don't spend, 10 to 12, 15 hours a month, you designing something that's, let's be honest, it's not that great because that's not what you do. And your time is so much better served out into the community, inviting people, getting them to come. That's what's going to get in and help grow your church and increase your financial opportunity to be able to grow, God's church. So I know a lot of times that, if your church is smaller, $100 a month looks like a lot, but it pays for itself so much for you to have some really effective graphics that you can quickly and easily share with people. So I would encourage you to look at that and encourage you to look at Luke's company as well. But work with somebody because if this is not what you do, it's probably not what you need to be doing. You are called to do something else. So let someone else take care of that for you because it's definitely worth the time and the investment. It might not just be worth your time specifically.
Yeah, and I come back to that so many times during, these episodes as we're talking to different guests or whatever. It's, hey, there's very few assistant pastors, church leaders, or pastors even that are, first of all, that they like to do their own design and creative work, and that secondly, they do it well. Most of them can just get by. And so what I always tell people, and my call to action is always this: if you need help in these areas, and design is usually the big one, but even if it's video or whatever it may be, just reach out, just ask, reach out to me, shoot me an email, drop by, let's schedule time to talk, because our goal is always, you know what, if you don't like our prices, if you don't like our style, if you don't like me, okay, here's the thing. I always like to remind people there's this, we have a very strict no hard feelings policy, because over the years I've been privileged to get to know a lot of different designers, a lot of different creatives. And even if you don't want to work with me, that's fine. In fact, depending on the time of year and the season, I may tell you, we can't work with you. We simply can't take on the additional workload, but we can always find someone, find another creative, another designer who can help you or another resource that you can tap into. So that you aren't doing the work, because yeah, I am amazed at what will take a somebody who's not a true graphic designer, for example, what will take them literally 2 to 3 days of work will take a professional, no joke, 2 to 3 hours or less. And so yeah, if you need help, please reach out, let me know. I would love to get you connected with someone who can help you and take that burden off of you. That's why we exist here. Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week, try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.